Great news for Ian's everywhere, as an Ian has made it into the British Cabinet. Last week, politician Ian Lang, was appointed the new Scottish Secretary. Well done, Ian.
Journalist Ian Watson of the Melody Maker, was in dire straits this week after he gave pop group The Wasp Factory a bad review. The Ianist musicians then issued death threats to Ian and chased him about at a pop festival. They only picked on him because he was called Ian as well, I expect.
And Baker Ian Hamilton has made himself the toast of Ian's all across the land by naming his firstborn Ian Hamilton.
His wife Yana said, "I wouldn't mind, but little Ian is a girl."
And coming up this week for Ian's.
Are you an Ian that likes 10-pin bowling and drinking yoghurt?
If you are, then get along to Streatham 10-pin bowling alley on Thursday at 3:45 p.m, where Ians of all nations are invited to 10-pin bowl and drinking yoghurt of up to 2 different flavours while waiting for their turn.
Remember, you must be called Ian to attend and like bowling and drinking yoghurt as well. So, as you can see, As you can see, all in all, it has been an interesting week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Lee and Herring on 1FM. Every time you turn them off, a fairy dies.
This is Gangstar.
What do you want this time?
And due to atmospheric difficulties, some people in some areas may have received the news for someone else's name there, sorry.
I got the news for Karen's. What a waste of time.
Yes. What, how does it work if somebody called,
Shut up, Pete. Fatima, Salika,
Freda. Look, I have a question. Just what is it that you need? A man, a lover, maybe someone to talk to. Or could it be a schemer? Oh, not you. Well, listen, I got this phone. It's not for business. And who gave you our number? Seriously, what is this? The new fad? Now you want to kick it to a rapper, DJ, or dancer? Well, I don't have the time for no stunts, no bookers and no games. Our name and our fame is for the long way we came. The struggle, the hassle, the hustle, the fight. And you're asking me if you can see me tonight? Don't you know the guru's not the type to be out skeezing? The reason is because I do believe in having the right to choose the one I want. And if I had a girl, why would I front? You're only gonna get your feelings hurt, miss. And truthfully, I really don't wanna have to diss. My music means everything to me, it's my life. So make like a camper and go take a hike. You can't mess with my mind and don't tie my line. You called yesterday, so what you want this time?
How does it work if somebody called Peter and Charlie are listening to a radio and they hear, you know, do they hear, does one of them hear Peter and one hears
yeah,
Charlie?
Yeah, it works like just speaking in tongues. It's sort of on the Jesus, you know, Jesus, they hear whatever their name is.
Hey, yo, Premier, who's that knocking at the door?
Yo, man, it's Vicky.
Vicky, are you sure? The one from down the block who was acting all hot? She stops me all the time and says she likes me a lot. How does she know where we live? I didn't tell her, and word is born through. I'm not the fella. No matter what I say, this young lady's persistent. For instance, she watches me from a distance. And if I walk by and I forget to say hi, she pushes up on me and rubs me with her thigh. I told her I was taken, but she doesn't care. Hey, yo, do me a favor. Tell her I'm not here. Forget it. I think she heard my voice already. You can let her in, but I'm trying to cook spaghetti. Oh, hello, how you doing? Who, me? I'm fine. I don't mean to be rude, but what you want this time?
I hate you when they do that, they come round and they want your spaghetti.
Yeah, you have to share it with them, don't you?
They can smell it, they smell the tomato.
It's the Heinz spaghetti, it's a big problem.
Don't forget, if you've any ideas on which woodland creature Rich is thinking about, call in on 071-306-0222.
Not so good that time, singing.
And also, if you fancy writing into us at all, do so. Lee and Herring, room 125, 16 Langham Street, London, W1A1AA.
Hey, we've got a call coming in. It's from Custard from Bradford. Hello, what woodland creature am I thinking of, Custard?
Well, I think because it's moon landing week, it's got to be a wolf.
No, it isn't. It wasn't a wolf. I'm sorry. I can see why you thought that.
Anyway, yeah, it's moon landing week, as Custard said there. It's moon astral week, moon week. And appropriately enough for that, first guest is Perkina Warbeck. Hello, Perkina.
Hello.
Now, I think you've some unusual ideas about the moon landing. Is that correct?
Yes, it was a fake.
Right.
Fake. The whole thing was a fake, yes. An elaborate fake. It was all done for the publicity angle. It was all done purely in order to win over public approval at a time when America most needed it.
Right.
Well, how did that work? Exactly.
Well, for instance, if you look at the footage of the astronauts in their space capsule, I mean, if you think about sawing a lady in half, there's always a gap in the box so that you can see the hand waving or the foot wiggling or something like that. Yeah. No such thing with the astronauts. You didn't see their faces during takeoff at all. You didn't see any toes wiggling, nothing.
So what was it that we saw on the moon then?
It was a model.
What, like a model? A puppet?
Like in Thunderbird, yes.
Well, he was working it. Someone was on the moon working puppets, is that what you're saying?
No, it was just done with a set.
Right.
So, but I mean, how do they float in the air? In the
astronauts?
Yeah.
With strings and a harness. Very simple. Right. Like Thunderbird's puppets. Andy Pandy, Tinkerbell, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple.
I see. But, you know, but there was like recordings of people speaking from space. You know, you can't fake that.
And now stepping onto the moon. Simple.
Just put your fingers
really
over
very
your nose.
Simple, much simpler and much cheaper than the technology that was talked about at the time.
Right.
Like Capricorn 1 a bit.
Very like that, yes. Yeah. They were laughing up their sleeves at us all the time. I mean, it's not just the moon landing. The Silver Jubilee was another example of an event that was entirely staged.
Well, I remember being there.
We all remember being there, but it was still fake.
I was at street parties and everything.
Yes, fake actors.
All right, if the Silver Jubilee was fake, what do you mean by this? Do you mean like the week of the Jubilee was fake or the entire year? Was fake.
The entire year was fake. The coronation was genuine. The Jubilee year was fake.
But if the coronation was in 1952, then 1977, that's the Silver Jubilee.
You can't argue about
whichever
that.
Way you look at it, so you know.
It was still a fake. Well, the Queen did not attend any of the celebrations. They
Where
were all,
was she?
I don't know. She's probably watching it on television, laughing up her sleeve. I don't know.
What's the point? You know, I mean.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just telling you how it was. I mean, you know, there are a number of historical events which can all be proved to be fakes. Tony Blair recently elected. Head of the Labour Party.
Well, I've seen on the news, that's true.
No, it's not true. It's not true.
Well, who is the head of the Labour Party then?
Neil Kinnock.
No, he was out in the last election.
Neil Kinnock, I'm telling you, I came to this as sceptically as you did, but it can all be proven.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
And the absurdity, getting back to the moon landing, is that the whole of America is a fake.
Really? Well, we'll be investigating that startling claim there from Perkina after this, in honour of Moon Landing, Moon Astro, Moon Week. We're going to have a listen to a track from Leonard Nimoy's solo album, Mr. Spock's Songs from Space.
And
this is called Visit to a Sad Planet. But listen to the words.
They weave a message.
Lee and Herring. Lee so and Herring, Herring go all on the way round, running away from important things.
Stardate 2434.2. First Officer's Log. On a routine patrol flight in the Milky Way galaxy, I discovered on our space sensors an unidentified planet careening wildly in an eccentric solar orbit. I ordered an immediate investigation and with much difficulty maneuvered our ship for a temporary orbit. Upon beaming down to the planet's surface, all I could see were ruins. Ruins of some type of civilization. Crumbled buildings, deserted streets, charred vegetation, all covered with a thick layer of dust, which our scanners indicated as intensely radioactive. I proceeded to make a thorough survey of the area. According to my calculations, I could tell that some recent phenomenon or holocaust had occurred and destroyed whatever advanced civilization had existed on the planet. I found no sign of life. As I made my way back to the ship, I heard a sound. It came from a cellar in one of the nearby buildings. Carefully and slowly, I found my way to the source and discovered a human being. Or rather, what once was a human being. A scarred, disfigured man lying in the rubble. When I questioned him, he told me that this had once been a great world. They had abundance and plenty. Intelligence, beauty, love. There was enough for everyone who lived there. But the inhabitants were never satisfied. They wanted more. They wanted everything. And they started to quarrel amongst themselves. They could not live in peace. And they tried to destroy each other. In doing this, they destroyed everything. Their abundance, their plenty, their own intelligence, their beauty, their love. He told me that so far as he knew, he was the only living thing left. But that he knew he was dying. When I asked him the name of the planet, he replied, "We called it Earth."
Oh, it was Earth all along.
Can't
believe it.
Good to see Leonard Nimoy escaping from the Spock persona there that has hampered his career so much since then.
He did try that Mr. Sock character, but it didn't work.
It was a puppet one he did. It was Leonard Nimoy and Mr. Sock for kids' parties. It didn't work.
I'm surprised, though, Mr. Spock, though, getting back to that song.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a shame, first of all, we blew all that abundance and the plenty we had, both of those two things.
You think they're the same, don't you? You think they're synonymous, but they're not, because plenty is like plenty, but a bun dance was a dance they did to celebrate how much plenty they had, the buns.
Charles Brandreth Darth Dictionary, that is. Anyway... I'm surprised that Mr. Spock didn't recognise the planet Earth, even if it was spinning outside of the orbit, you know.
Yeah.
And plus, hasn't the Starship Enterprise got, like, loads of sort of instruments to detect life?
I believe so.
You know, he said there was no life, and then he used his ears to hear
the one bloke crying.
It's lucky he was, like, in the place where that one living bloke was still there.
The other thing that was different about it, so this programme, is when he goes down on the planet, usually hasn't got, like, that sort of cocktail bar band backing him.
No, that's true. Yeah, but, that was a departure. They did that in one, except in the Cage of Hlahur.
They didn't, and they stopped.
Didn't work. The Trekkies were very cross.
Yeah. Still, enough stupid rubbish.
All right.
Go back to our guest, who, when we left before we played that novelty record, just told us that America is a fake. Perkina Warbeck, America is a fake.
America's a fake, yes.
I was challenged that in as much as only 3 weeks ago. I was there on holiday. You know, what do you say to that?
I say that you believe you were there.
Well, I was there. I mean, it's stupid.
How do you know?
Well, I flew 9 hours to get there.
Flight simulator, carry on.
And when I got there, everything was different. You know, different buildings, different money, different signs, people speaking in a different way to how they would
appear. Well, that's not difficult to simulate, is it?
Well, the whole country of people doing it,
though. Any actor can do an American accent. Many non-actors can do what's called an American accent.
I drove 4,000 miles along the West Coast. You know, how do you...
Probably in a circle.
Well, it wasn't in a circle. I'd have noticed, wouldn't I?
Well, the car simulator?
If America isn't there, where was Stu? Where did he go?
The whole thing is an elaborate video image set up in a warehouse in Wales.
I bought a T-shirt there. I bought it back with me, a T-shirt.
Well, that's hardly proof.
It's a real T-shirt.
I beg your pardon, but it's hardly proof.
Puppets?
I'm sorry?
What?
Puppets. You said they're puppets. The men on the
moon. Astronauts, yes.
Does that mean then that it goes the other way around, that... You know, when you see programmes with puppets on the moon, like the Clangers and that's really real people on a real moon.
What would you like to believe?
I don't want to believe that. I don't like that.
Well, you believe what you want to believe, okay. I think. I think that's best.
That would be safest, I think.
I think so. Thanks
for that. I'm afraid we have to leave the news there that America is fake for our hobby update, but thanks for coming in, Perkina.
Thanks.
Hello, my name is Simon Quinlank, and me and my friends have a hobby which I believe is the sort of hobby that anyone looking for a hobby because they haven't got a hobby would find to be an interesting hobby. What you need for this hobby is...
Lots of thin white paper.
Some charcoal or crayons.
A guide to country churches.
And at least one hand.
And if you like art, going to country churches and rubbing things, then this is the hobby for you. We call it arse rubbing.
Arse rubbing!
How you do it.
Find a church and then go to the vicarage.
Talk to the vicar for a while about God and architecture and then ask him if he would be interested in letting you take a charcoal or crayon rubbing of his arse. How about it, Reverend?
I'd be delighted. Remove the vicar's trousers and underpants, if he has them, and then place your paper over his arse.
Rub the edge of your charcoal or crayon against the vicar's arse and... Hey, presto! A perfect charcoal or crayon representation of the arse of the vicar in charcoal or crayon will appear on your sheet in charcoal or crayon.
When I have the rubbing, I label it with the date, church, name and cleanliness of the vicar. I like to thank the vicar for his cooperation with my hobby by making a small donation to the Steeple Fund. Thanks for letting me make a rubbing of your arse, vicar. Here's 50p.
God bless you, my son. Be careful. Although vicars may appear friendly with strong moral and religious values, about half of them are evil and perverted. If they ask you to rub anything other than their arse, politely decline and then call the police.
Don't ask a vicar for a rubbing during a service or on a Sunday. He'll be too busy. Any of the other days of the week, he shouldn't be up to much.
If you're a Muslim or Hindu or Jew, why not make an arse rubbing of whatever the blokes who run your religion are called?
That's my hobby. I like it a lot. And I think it's better than brass rubbing, because brass rubbings are the same every time you rub them, whilst over a period of years, a vicar's arse will change in subtle ways, which are almost imperceptible to the human eye, but become apparent from looking at the rubbings. Also, one day, that vicar's arse will disappear completely, and your arse rubbing, or rubbings, will be a valuable record of what the vicar's arse looked like for future generations. Unlike brass rubbings, which the original brass is there for people to see anyway. Plus, if you're gay or a woman, it's a good way to get a look at loads of blokes' asses really easily and touch them.
It's Velvet Crush with a cover of the old Russ Abbott song, Atmosphere.
A delicious break from potatoes, now in six fabulous flavors.
Proud to the pulse of life.
Lolly for Lolly.
Good afternoon, Joanna. How can I help
you? Hi, is that Joanna Lynch of Haagen-Dazs?
It is.
Right, hi. I'm Richard Herring from 1FM, Lee and Herring Show. Have you heard it?
I haven't.
Oh, well, never mind.
You're awfully faint. You sound like you're in kind of Iceland or something.
Well, that would be apt, wouldn't it, with the old ice cream there. Oh, dear, sorry. And what we're doing tonight is we're doing a little taste test of various ice creams and lollies.
Right.
Trying to decide which is the best one on the market at the moment.
Obviously,
I was wondering if there was anything you could do to make it worth my while to say it was.
Well, I could send you pots and pots of ice cream. That's probably quite...
Can you?
Yeah, and what kind of flavours do you want to taste?
Everything you've got, as much as I can have, really.
Right.
I mean, do I have to have it in ice cream, or is there any other currency, if you get my drift?
We prefer you to try and taste it, so you can think about it.
Well, you know, I mean, there are other ways of persuading me, other than taste tests, if you see what I mean.
Right.
We are sort of doing it tonight, but, you know, I could take it in lieu of whatever you're going to send me if you can give me a verbal promise.
Well, I'm a minion, so I can't.
Right.
But I'll go and have a chat to those higher up in the team.
What ice cream can you send me, anyway?
We could send you Belgian chocolate.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Some cookies and cream.
Oh, yeah.
Caramel cone exposure.
Can you bike it over?
Yeah, sure.
There's about sort of 10 people on the team, so they probably all want to try it as much as we can.
Right,
get, really.
Okay, I'll just...
And obviously, if there's anything other than the ice cream, you can also slip in with that. Then there's the chances. Oh, we might like it all the more, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
Checks payable to Richard Herring, though.
Okay. Right, thanks.
Good.
Bye.
071-306-0222.
If you want to call in, if you're an ice cream manufacturer and reconsider any bad decisions that you think you've made today regarding us. Joining us in the studio now, guest tonight, Danny O'Brien, who's our interface with the stupid fool world of the internet. Hi, Danny.
Hello.
Hi, and what have you found for us tonight, this week, in email?
Well, it's been quite a mixed electronic mailbag this week, Stu. Alan Perry picked up on an earlier suggestion that all Rich was interested in was dumb cartoons and pornography. And he sent in a 4-page-long, quite hardcore story about Smurfs, which he, quote, found on the net.
It's just horrible.
It's genuinely disgusting.
There's no reason why it should be about the Smurfs either. It's just very...
Yeah.
Don't send anything else in, please.
I don't quite understand why he sent it in. I mean, we can't read any of this out, containing as it does both copyright and actual violation of the Smurf. But thanks anyway there, Alan.
Yeah, don't bother again with that, Alan. Also, we had some garlic bread news from Simon Rafferty, I believe.
Indeed. Simon Rafferty phoned in, emailed in to say, I like garlic bread. Well, Simon, we've thought about this, and what we suggest you do is you go to your nearest pizza chain, order some garlic bread, and then when the bill comes, try and imply that I suggested on Radio 1FM that the Herring and Lee radio show had in some way offered to pay for it because we heard you liked it so much, and that the cost of the garlic and the bread would be made by cheque from Broadcasting House sometime in the next week.
So you get on with that. Yeah. Also, news from the States on the internet, I believe, of an exploding whale.
Indeed. We're particularly interested to know if anyone has a copy of the video that pagan@myco.co.uk described to us, in which a dead whale is blown up by Oregon Coast Guards. The Netta reports, I'm probably not guilty of understatement when I say what follows on the videotape is wonderful. You hear happy spectators shouting yay and we, then there's a whale carcass blown up in a huge blast of smoke and flame. Then everything turns terribly wrong. You hear a new sound like splud, and you hear a woman's voice shouting, here comes pieces of, oh my God, and then something smears the camera lens. We're very keen to get an audio tape of that, please.
That's right, so do keep information like that coming into our email address, which is...
is dobrien@kix.compulink.co.uk. That's dobrien@kix.compulink.co.uk.
And also thanks for all your nice electronic fan mail, which we will be responding to via the appropriate channels. And thanks for coming in, Danny.
That's okay.
It's about 5 minutes to 10 here on 1FM, and the Haagen-Dazs ice cream has arrived.
Yeah.
That's great.
Whoa. Is there any money in there?
No, this is King Missile and a song called Jesus Was Way Cool.
Jesus was way cool. Everybody liked Jesus. Everybody wanted to hang out with him. Anything he wanted to do, he did. He turned water into wine. And if he wanted to, he could have turned wheat into marijuana, or sugar into cocaine, or vitamin pills into amphetamines. He walked on the water and swam on the land. He would tell these stories, and people would listen. He was really cool. If you were blind or lame, you just went to Jesus, and he would put his hands on you, and you would be healed. That's so cool. He could have played guitar better than Hendrix. He could have told the future. He could have baked the most delicious cake in the world. He could have scored more goals than Wayne Gretzky. He could have danced better than Baryshnikov. Jesus could have been funnier than any comedian you could think of. Jesus was way cool. He told people to eat his body and drink his blood. That's so cool. Jesus was so cool. But then some people got jealous of how cool he was, so they killed him. But then he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead, danced around, and went up to heaven. I mean, that's so cool. Jesus was way cool. No wonder there are so many Christians.
The stuff we've been sent in. We've had, here's just three of the letters, the three letters we've had this week. is the mine's from Mike Scott, not from the Waterboys. He says lots of stuff. Mainly, could we say to Caroline Blythe, who's staying with him, that he loves her. She apparently likes the show, so it's a bit romantic. They come together over our show. Get in there, Mike. Go on. She's begging for it. Go on.
Letter from Graham Ashworth of Sittingbourne, who writes me to say, would you send me a signed photograph of yourself and your legs? I like your legs. And I shan't be doing that, Graham, but there is a letter in the post for you of some sort. Pete, I believe you've been sent some tips.
Kiss her.
We were talking about mad thoughts last week, and I've had a letter from Stephen Taylor in Welling, and he works in a supermarket, and the other day a lady asked him where the Braeburn apples were, and he had the mad thought of what if he said to her, sorry, I don't work here, even though he was wearing a uniform and he was stacking shelves.
Well then, Stephen, and please do keep your letters coming in.
Come and worship at the Church of Lee and Herring.
Ice cream, all right? Is it?
Oh, God,
nice.
I'm going to be sick. And we got some more lovely calls coming in about the woodland creature idea. Owen from Wales, what woodland creature am I thinking of?
A fox.
A fox? No, it's not a fox. How terrible. Sue from Dublin, what woodland creature am I thinking of?
Fairy.
A what?
A fairy.
A fairy. It's close, but it's not it. Pete from Glasgow.
Yes, an emigrating deer.
Oh, it's not emigrating. We've had deer already.
A bear.
Bear!
No.
Oh, no. And so it looks like that's going unclaimed.
Yeah, never mind. That's it for this week. Remember, our address is Lee and Herring, room 12516, Langham Street, London, W1A1AA. The phone number is 071-306-0222. Kev, I think you've got some events for us, yeah?
Yeah, sure. A couple of events for you this week. It's a sad fact that many inner-city kids grow up without ever seeing a real piece of chalk. So Simon Harris has set up a chalk farm in North London. School children can go along and see how a chalk farm operates. Chalk of all colours and lengths can be viewed in fields and pens, eating, breeding, and finally being slaughtered and cut into sticks at the chalk abattoir. Get off at Chalk Farm Tube and ask someone where the chalk farm is. And Tuesday sees the return of the Biggin Hill Hair Show. Hair from all over the world is on display in plastic bags and Tupperware boxes. And look out for the very rare hair of Gary Olsen of TV's 2.4 Children fame. And there'll be highlights on BBC Two at 12:40 PM with commentary by Michael Rodd.
That's it, is it, Kev?
Yep.
Remember, Stu gave the number there, but don't ring us during the week because we won't be here. Ring us next week.
I made mistake. Thanks for the ice cream for Haagen-Dazs there, and the best ice cream in Britain. And also, thanks for our guest this week. Thanks to Perkina Warbeck.
Thank you. You are both fake, but Peter Bainham is real.
Cheers.
Right, and thank you to Rebecca Front, Peter Bainham, Kevin Eldon, Danny O'Brien, Ben Moore, Stuart Lee, and Richard Herring. We were produced by Sarah Smith, and she's very nice. Coming up next is Mark Radcliffe. It was very easy, the woodland creature. I was a vole. So simple now, you know, isn't it? And remember, with Mark Radcliffe, there's £50 for whoever can guess what aquatic mammal Mark is thinking about during his show. OK?
It's a porpoise.
Hello, everyone. I hope you like the things we're going to say.
Yeah, we are Lee and Herring here on 1FM with 1 hour of chat. We've got some great music and some rubbish music as well.
Lee and Herring, better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel.
This download is brought to you by www.fistoffun.net.